So most of you guys know that I had the opportunity the last week to go to the country of Belize. How many of you have ever been to Belize? Anyone? Chris and Samantha. It was a very interesting experience. Several of you asked how was it, and I said it would have been a lot better without 35 teenagers. My job was the sweeper. And so I was the end of the line everywhere we went. And so by the time I got there, the guide had moved on. And so I missed most everything, the explanations. And so we went to the zoo, and by the time I got there, it was moving. So I was like, where is it? And I just had to walk on because I was the end. My job was to make sure we didn't lose anybody, and we didn't lose anybody. So I did my job. The country of Belize is very interesting in a lot of ways. My only other experiences are Honduras and then Peru, and I never really do much sightseeing in those places. This was more of a sightseeing fun type trip for the kids to get some cultural experiences. And Belize is an interesting country if you ever studied the history of Belize, which probably nobody has. But it was a British colony for a long, long time. It was founded by the British. And it's the only country in Central South America that their main language is English. And so I understood everybody, so that was good. Now they have lots of other dialects, and like their second main language is Creole. And if you've ever tried to understand Creole, it's like a shorthand English. Very interesting, and you can pick up some of it, and some of it I had no idea what they were saying because they talk so fast. And then Spanish, and then there's all sorts of other languages. So that was a cool part of it, was I was able to understand most everything that was going on when I was actually able to hear what the guy was saying. We had a guy that went along with us who was Belizean, and he was a really, really good guy. He's used to doing that type of tour. They're known for their reef. They have they're part of the largest living reef in the world. And so one of the things we were able to do was we took a boat and we went out about 30 minutes away from the shore, and we were able to snorkel, or snorkel, as they call it. We were able to snorkel, and so we got out of the boat, and we went and we got into the reef, and the guy said, just follow me out, and we'll get to a place, and I'll point out some stuff to you. And so it's the first time anybody ever snorkeled, okay? It's a cool experience once you get used to having the mask on your face. And you learn not to suck up water into your little tube, which I did a couple of times. So you're looking at the water, and it's so clear. The water is so clear. And there's boats all around you, and all these hundreds of people are snorkeling around you. And so I'm in the water, and I'm going along, and the guide said, if you see anything interesting, pick your head up and point it out to everyone. I will be telling you what you're seeing. And so we're going along, and he says, "There's this type of fish, and there's that type of fish, and we saw a Nemo fish, and we saw one that looked kind of like Dory. It wasn't kind of as bright as Dory, but all types of different fish. Barracuda, with a big old teeth sticking out the side. And we're going along, and the first I'm looking, I don't see anything, and all of a sudden this big stingray, was on the bottom, and it just comes up, and it's right under my feet, and it's about this big, and it's got this big tail on it, you know. And I'm thinking Jeff Corwin, you know, I'm thinking the guy that got killed by getting stung by a stingray. And so what's his name? What'd I say? Maybe he died by a stingray too. I don't know. Irwin. And so I sort of panicked a little bit, you know. And he said, "Don't worry. They're used to people. They won't harm you." And then I'm going a little bit further, and I look down, and about 3 feet away from my foot is a shark. I didn't know that it was a nurse shark, which is a shark that doesn't attack humans or doesn't even have teeth or a mouth that can get any. It's like kind of like a huge catfish. It didn't look like a catfish to me. It looked like a shark. And so, no problem. So we did that. It was a good, really good experience. And then a little bit later, we had a chance to snorkel, and we got out of the boat, and we were surrounded by like 15 sharks of that same type. And at that point, I was still scared, but we were able to see a sea turtle, and it came right up to us. and was sticking, it was looking right at me, you know, and I have some GoPro. One of the guys had a GoPro, and I got some good footage, which I haven't looked back at yet. So it was some interesting stuff that we did. But one of the things that, how am I going to work this into a sermon? Okay, I'll tell you. One of the things that's very interesting about Belize is that it's a place of refuge. That most of the people there, it's called the melting pot of Central and South America because it has so many different types of people that live in the country. You walk down the street and, you see all types of, you know, where are they from? And they have Chinese and they have Africans and they have just all these different looking people and speaking people. But they've come there as a refuge, mostly because of persecution of different types. And one of the reasons that people come to Belize, and this is what our God told us, it's a very religiously open-minded country. That anyone can come there and feel comfortable. Whatever it is, your religion that you have, you can come there and you can worship in the way you want to worship. And you're not ridiculed. In fact, you're celebrated for the diversity for your religious beliefs. And I found it very interesting. We were driving down in a bus. We had a bus all week. And as we were going, the guide was talking to us. And as we're going along the roads, we see these schools. And we see a school like every so often. And the kids are out in the yard and they're playing and they're in their uniforms. But every time it seems like we see a school, it says St. Matthew's something something school. Or it says something something Assembly of God school. It says this Seventh-day Adventist school. It says they're all Christian schools. And I asked him, I said, so what's the deal with the schools? And he said, unlike the U.S., where separation of church and state seems to be what we say, he says here, the church and the state are partners. And most of the education that's done in this country to the children is religious education. That it's a part of their schooling is that they receive instruction in the Bible. It's celebrated. It's talked about as something that is a great part of the learning process, is learning about God and learning about His creation, learning about the Word of God. And we got to go to a school, and we got to meet some of the kids and play with some of the kids. And in that process, we got to go through a classroom. And right in the center of the classroom, in this prominent place, was guess what? What used to be in every one of our schools just a few years ago. The Ten Commandments. In a prominent place, right in the middle of the classroom. And I asked the teacher, I said, so is that common for you to teach and to talk about the Ten Commandments? And he said, oh, it's required curriculum to teach and to talk about the Ten Commandments as a part of our education. And I thought, he was almost looking, our guide had lived in the United States for a while, and he was almost talking about the fact that the reason that we got into talking about the reason that we are struggling so bad in our country is because we've taken those things away out of the schools, when in other parts of the world they realize that it is the foundation of every society is God. The other, before I went to Belize, I was previewing some stuff that I was going to maybe show in my class at school, and I came across this video, and it's called, or this video series called Monumental. Has anybody seen that? Everyone needs to see this video. It's called Monumental. It's narrated by Kirk Cameron. And he talks about the foundations of our country and how far we have come. And he's going and he's trying to find out why, or trying to find out the fundamentals of our country and how our country was founded, and maybe why we're getting a little bit off track. And he points out, and maybe Chef knows about this, maybe some of you others, okay? If you don't, I'll be surprised, okay? He points out that there's a monument in Plymouth, Massachusetts called the Forefathers Monument. You heard of it? Has anybody ever heard of that monument or been to see that monument? Probably most of our people have never even heard of it. I don't think I was taught about it in school. It's 80 feet high, and it's up on this hill, and it's actually right in the middle of the subdivision. And it was erected in 1889 or something like that. And sometimes it's called the Matrix of Liberty. In other words, how do you form a nation based on for liberty? How do you get there? We go back a lot of times to our founding fathers, but really the principles that came across in the Pilgrims, those type of people, are kind of what our founding fathers took. They took it from them to form the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and all those sorts of things that mention God all through them. He even mentions in this video that the first Bible, the first English Bible commissioned in the United States was commissioned by guess who? Congress. By Congress. And that these guys that were taught in our modern history books that they were atheists and they didn't really have a belief in God and all this, it's just not true. But you look at this monument, and on the top of this monument is a lady. And I don't know if you see down at the bottom here, I don't know if you can see that. Can you see what word that is? Faith. The founding principle of liberty is faith. And I don't know if you notice, and you can't really see it, but if you see what she's got in her hand right there, guess what that is? It's the Bible. The Bible. And this monument, then, it has four other figures around the sides. And they are, I don't know in the order, but they're education. This is education over here. And this is liberty. And one of them is law. And one of them is justice. But they're all founded upon what? And, oh, by the way, see what the law has in their hand? Ten Commandments. This is the concept of the people who came across to this country. This is the concept of how our nation was founded, was based upon the Word of God being a part of our life. The foundational principles. One of the, on the side, look it up, Google this monument, and look at everything about this monument has meaning. Every detail of it has some sort of meaning. And it's amazing the thought process that went into this. But on law, one of the sides is morality. And it's just amazing the concept that we have lost. True liberty is only found in God. True liberty is only found when we recognize God as the creator of the universe and we take hold of His principles as found in the Word of God. We're blessed here in our congregation to have lots and lots of educators here. And some of us have the privilege of being able to teach the Bible, but you walk into a public school and I doubt Johnny could even carry a Bible into his school without getting criticized. You what? Tucked away in his drawer and he probably has to close his office door to read it. But what if we were to talk about moral principles as talked about in the Bible in our classrooms? We'd be fired probably pretty quickly. Maybe not in this part of the country as much as others. But this idea is exactly where we're supposed to be founded. Again, there's so much more to this. I'm not going to go into it. He goes into it in great detail in this video, which I encourage everyone to watch. It's called Monumental. Monumental. And it stars Kirk Cameron. And he's an actor who actually is a Christian guy. So this is the last thing I want to look at. And we're going to look at a little bit of scripture. This is what's on the monument. It's what's written on the side. And this is a quote from Governor William Bradford. Anybody know who that is? Jim, you want to tell us? Okay. The founder of this colony. And it says this, "Thus out of small beginnings, greater things have been produced by His hand, that made all things of nothing and gives being to all things that are. And as one small candle may light a thousand, so the light here kindled has shone unto many, yea, in some sort to our whole nation. Let the glorious name of Jehovah have all the praise. See why nobody tells us about this monument, right? The Word of God was the foundation of life. Foundation of everything that existed. And one of the things he says in the movie is that so many of our early educational institutions, such as Harvard, were founded on God. You walk up to, and he shows the gate at Harvard, one, the backside of the gate at Harvard, and the saying that's on there, it has Christ in their motto. Harvard. They got it then, right? They understood what it was about. And we have come so far from that. And I think other people and places in this world who have retained that, they look at us and they say, why? Why have you come so far from where you started? And it's all about taking God out of our lives. The end of the book of Ecclesiastes. Oh, by the way, that quote is kind of, does that sound familiar? This is for 2 Peter. It says, so we have the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you will be well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dismal place. Kind of talks about the quote that he gives right there. But the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon's life was all about testing life. And I think Solomon, it was an experiment. I'm going to try everything that there is to find happiness outside of God. And so you read the book of Ecclesiastes, and he tries money, and he tries fame, and he tries women, and he tries pleasure of all types. And he does all of that, and he gets to the end of the book, and he says, when all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is this: fear God and keep His commandments. He said it's very simple. If you want to live a free life, if you want to live the best life possible, fear God and keep His commands. And I wonder if Solomon just really wasn't listening or had never read his dad's own writings in the book of Psalms. Psalm 19 is where we're going to be for just a minute. Psalm 19, the beginning of this book, is very familiar. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the work of His hands. And day after day they pour out speech, and night after night they communicate knowledge. There's no speech, there are no words, their voice is not heard, their message has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So his basic analysis here at the beginning is, fear God. God does exist. And you look around and you see His creation, you see all the things that He has given us to enjoy, and it points to Him and His power. Who does not fear a being that can create the things that God has created? But in our world, what have we replaced it with? Oh, two things just bang together, and that's what happened. Look at all the things that... It doesn't make any sense. But it takes us away from our acknowledgement of God as the Creator. And it takes us away from our fear of God, respect of God. But then he goes on to say this in verse 7. He says, the instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing a person's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy. It makes the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, and it makes the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. Why is it that this law, or why is it that this instruction of the Lord should be the foundation of everyone's life? Notice what he says here. He says it renews our life. Some versions say it converts our soul. It gives us meaning and purpose in what this world is supposed to be all about. He says that it makes the inexperienced wise. True wisdom only comes from the Lord and His Word. He says it makes the heart glad. Everyone is seeking and searching for happiness. And He said it cannot be found apart from God's law. And the last thing it says is it gives us enlightenment. The only way to see this world for its true nature is through His Word. Through the radiance, it says, of His Word. Shining as a light in the darkness. We wonder why, and Jimmy and I did not plan this, but a lot of what he said earlier is exactly why we're in the mess that we're in. Would you say, as a whole, our world, our country, our families fear God and keep His commandments? I think a lot of people believe in God, but is there a difference in believing in God and fearing God? Is there a difference? Absolutely. I'm not going to do anything based just on a belief in something, unless I have a healthy respect that whatever is said in that particular word or that particular instruction is going to take place. What about following the commands of God? There are some very simple, basic ideas that God puts forth, and you know, a lot of those can be found just simply in the Ten Commandments. The way that a person should live in this world. And why would we want to take those away? Why would we want to take those out of a place of teaching and learning and throw them in the trash can and say they're not important? We look at our world and we see what has happened as a result of taking God out of everything or attempting to. Okay, it's not really our place to take Him out of it. He's not going to be taken out. If it's the only thing that enlightens us, if it's the only thing that makes us happy, if it's the only thing that makes us wise, why would we want to take it away? Doesn't make a ton of sense. But you look at how far we've come. And it was not the intention of the people who came to this country to form this country. It was not their intention. As we can see very clearly, their intention was the basis of life is God and His Word. And if we will stick with that, if we will stay with that, then we will be happy. We will live productive lives. We will make an impact on this world. And we will have exactly what they were seeking. True liberty. True freedom. You know, it's an interesting thing that I had to go to Belize to see the Word of God being taught in the schools. They let us come in there, although we were a Christian group. They let us come in there, and we played with the kids, and we had a little time together where we talked to the kids. And they welcome God in their life. That doesn't mean their life is perfect, and doesn't mean that they always accept everything God says, but they understand what we have kind of come to. In our country, we've kind of come to put away, and that is that God is the foundation of everything. And the words of Solomon are so true that everything in this life depends on two things: fearing God and keeping His commandments. And if we'll do those two things, we will be happy, and we will be wise, and we will be enlightened, and we will truly be changed from the inside out. Which is exactly what being a Christian is all about. There's anyone here this morning who may be struggling in your faith and needs to come forward and either allow us to pray for you or let us know something that you need to be prayed that needs to be prayed for in your life. That this is a great opportunity for that. I know that in the life of everyone we have struggles. And this is a time of renewal. as we sing this song and as we pray together, it's a time of renewal, a time to turn our life around toward God, knowing that it's His Word on which we stand. One of the things I was thinking about was this. We look out at the world, and what I see is a mess. And it's very easy for a Christian person, for a Christian individual to say, well, what in the world can I do about it? Do I need to pick up a sign and say, put the Ten Commandments back in the schools? Or do I need to go out? Do we need to organize a march? What do we need to do? It feels hopeless and helpless. And I'll tell you what I think is our responsibility. What our responsibility is to teach our own the importance of God and His Word. In our own homes, it needs to be important. It needs to be like a light on a lampstand. It needs to be something that we focus on and we talk about and we study. We need to talk about and pray about God and how awesome and wonderful that He is and all that He's done for us. I don't know if I can save the world. I don't know if I can make a difference in the world, but I know that I can make a difference in my own home. I know that I can make a difference in my church family. I know that I can make a difference in the lives of a few. And really, that's what it's all about. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, thanks for being our God. How patient You are with us as we continually go against You and Your Word. And Father, we know we won't be perfect. We know that we are going to struggle. But we know, Father, that You love us. And we look around, Father, and we see the creation of this world, and it's proof that You exist. It's proof of Your power, and it's proof, Father, that we should respect and have awe for You. And although, Father, we may not follow Your Word perfectly, we know that it is the foundation of our life. And help us to keep it there. Help us to not be ashamed, Father, to follow You and Your Word, to make it the foundation for everything that we do. I pray, Father, that You bless our country, that You bless our leaders, that they would their eyes would be opened to You and to Your will, that we can, Father, return to our roots, where you were placed at the very foundation of everything. Thank You, Father, for Your Son, Jesus, and I pray this prayer in His name. Amen. Let's all stand as we sing.